Well, hello, and thank you for joining us. This is Kevin Harris, and you're listening to the Invisible War radio program with our host and teacher, Dr. Rob Randall. This is our continuing study on the armor of God, as taught in Chapter 5, Defending Against the Devil, in Dr. Randall's book on spiritual warfare called The Invisible War, Living in Victory Over the Enemy. I want to encourage you to visit our website, theinvisiblewar.org. That's theinvisiblewar.org. And at that website, you can order your copy of this most important Bible study on spiritual warfare. And you can also download each radio program of The Invisible War for free just by going to the website, theinvisiblewar.org. Click on the broadcast button, and all this valuable teaching is available to you at your convenience. And again, it's free. Dr. Randall, welcome again to the studio. It's good to see you, and what a fascinating study this has been.
Kevin, it's always exciting, and what a privilege it is to study the Word of God. We have talked about the full armor of God. The Bible says, put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. The devil is a strategist. We've talked about that in depth. He is a schemer. And without the full armor of God, the Bible says that we will fall instead of stand. Stand firm, it says. Our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, and we talked about the pieces that enable us to stand and not fall.
Boy, it'd be kind of crazy to go into the battle naked without your armor, wouldn't it?
Well, it's a dangerous thing, and most of us do. That's the tragedy. Most of us don't take this as seriously as we ought. Why is it so serious? It's a matter of life and death.
We've been looking at this very familiar passage in Ephesians 6 on the armor of God, and you've been discussing, Dr. Randall, the defensive parts of the armor. Why don't you recap that for us?
The Bible says in verse 14, again, I encourage our listeners to get your Bible, Ephesians 6, and we see in verse 14 and following, stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with truth. Live the truth, believe the truth, face the truth. Walk in the truth. Secrets kill and secrets destroy. Truth is essential if we are to walk and stand firm and walk in victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Having put on your breastplate of righteousness, not our righteousness, but the righteousness of God, we must walk in Him. Remember, every piece of the armor represents Jesus. He is righteousness. He is truth. And verse 15, we are to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Again, the Lord is our peace. We are to be at peace with Him. We are to have the peace of God. And it is essential that we are at peace with all men. The peace of the Lord is essential in the battles with the forces of darkness. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. Think of it. All of them. Not some of them. All of them. Faith, the shield, is the protection for the other armor. It is essential. Without faith, without believing what God has said is true, defeat is certain. But if we will believe what God has said is true and act on it, walk in faith, whether we see it, whether we don't see it. If God says it, we believe Him. If we will walk in His truth, we will be able to extinguish all the fiery darts of the evil one. And verse 17 says, take the helmet of salvation. We need to understand, as we've talked about, we need to know who we are in Christ, that we are loved, that He knew us, He called us. He is our salvation. He is our protection. And, of course, the helmet protects the mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It is essential, as we talked about the last program, that we guard our hearts through our thoughts. We need to be careful that we are taking every thought captive, as the Bible says, to the obedience of Christ. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Take on the helmet of salvation that the Lord He Himself has given us. Without it, we are defeated. With it, we can be victorious in these battles.
Well, Dr. Randall, those are the defensive parts of the armor of God, but this is the part that excites me, the offensive part, the sword of the Spirit. What is the significance of the sword of the Spirit, having a sword when you go into battle?
Of course, I see the sword as offensive, but it is also defensive. It is both and. It has a two-edge on it, offensive and defensive. Kevin, notice that the sword is not mentioned in the text until all other pieces of the armor are on. We must never try to use the Word of God as a spiritual weapon until all other pieces of the armor are firmly in place. Let me explain it. There are times when a friend or a loved one or a preacher can get into the pulpit without the love of God, without the humility before God, and he takes out the sword, and instead of edifying people, he rips them all apart with it. Before you pull out the sword, you have to make certain that all of the other pieces are firmly put on. We must walk in Christ. We must know that we are in Him and walk by faith in Him before we ever pull out the sword, or we can do great, great damage. It is also important to note that every major Christian denomination has struggled and many have split over the issue of the authority of God's Word. Simply put, if Satan can get us to question the authority of God's Word in our lives, if he can get us to doubt ever so slightly the truth of God's Word, he will have won in defeating us. Remember, that's how it all started in the Garden of Eden. The serpent said, "Has God said? Surely you don't believe God, do you?" Without the sword of the Lord, without the Word of God, the believer is left hopeless and helpless against the murderous schemes of the devil.
Do you really believe, Dr. Randall, that the Word of God can be believed today in our culture?
Kevin, listen to what the Bible claims for itself. In Hebrews 4:12, we find these words. "The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes, the very intentions of the heart." Think of it with me today. Through the Word of God, the work of God is done. The sword of the Lord is able to separate that which is holy from that which is unholy. The sword of the Lord, the Word of God, is able to penetrate the heart of man and determine that which is of the flesh and that which is of the spirit. Wow! What power! No psychiatrist, however educated, is able to do that. Only God's Word is used by God to determine the truth or its absence in the life of a man. There is no substitute for the use of the Word of God against Satan. And to be able to use the Word of God in spiritual warfare, the believer must first know the Word of God. Dear brother and sister in Christ, get into the Word and stay in the Word. Come to know the Scriptures, not as a matter of legalistic ritual, but as a pattern for life. Internalize the Word of God. Build your days on the foundation of the Word of God. You must know your sword well before you ever attempt to use it in battle. The devil and his angels are eternally fearful of the Word of God. All demons tremble in the presence of the well-dressed spiritual warrior wielding the sword of the Spirit. All of Satan's lies are exposed and expelled with the Word of God. All the ground that the devil's imps have gained in our lives, they have stolen through deceit and through lies. The Word of God is without a doubt the most powerful weapon in the believer's arsenal in the invisible war. Remember, Jesus said in John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
Dr. Randall, in your teaching, you tell us that prayer is also a part of our spiritual armor. What place does prayer have in the battles with the forces of darkness?
Kevin, prayer is much more than talking to God. Prayer is every bit as much listening to God. The good warrior will come to know that listening to our Lord's voice when he speaks is essential in the warfare with the powers of darkness. Prayer is a weapon. I want to say that again. Prayer is our link, our avenue by which we commune with the Lord. Prayer is a weapon. Notice with me in Matthew 17:19-21, our Lord's teaching concerning the battle in which the disciples found themselves with the powers of darkness. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "Because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. But this kind," speaking of a demon, speaking of a stronghold, "this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting."
Now that kind of gets our attention, Dr. Randall. Is Jesus telling us to fast when we find ourselves in spiritual battle with a demon?
Kevin, the operative phrase here is "this kind." There are evil spirits who have been given greater power than others. Higher ranks, think of it like the military. Greater authority, greater power. And humility, although always important in the spiritual battle, when one comes up against these more powerful demons, it is essential that we are humbled and that we put aside the flesh if we are to have any success at all. I must admit to you that when it came to fasting, I was at best confused. Oh, I heard the teachings for many years, but those who openly talked about fasting made what I believe to be two significant errors. Number one, they talked about it openly. And Jesus taught his disciples that when they fasted, they were to do it in private. No one was to know about it except the Lord in Matthew 6:16. And number two, they talked as if it were a way to get into God's presence. My dear friend, we already have access to the throne room of heaven. The Holy of Holies is now available through our union with Christ. The veil of the temple of God has been torn in two. If we have to do any kind of work to get into God's presence, then Jesus died in vain. He did it for us. In our union with Christ, we have ready access to the Heavenly Father, Ephesians 2:5-6. Well, what's the deal about fasting then? Here it is. Don't miss it. When Jesus fasted in the wilderness for 40 days, he knew he was about to do battle with Satan. In Luke 4:1, the Bible says Jesus was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. Jesus' encounter with the devil was no surprise. Jesus was God. He knew what was about to happen, but Jesus was very much flesh. He was as much man as he was God. And he knew it. He knew that if he was going to win the battle over the temptations of the enemy, he had to deal with his flesh first. Jesus' 40-day fast in the wilderness was his time of spiritual preparation for the truth encounter that was to take place. The desire to feed the flesh is as basic to our lives in the flesh as it gets. To deny flesh food is to, as Paul puts it, Galatians 5:24, "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Fasting is a basic fundamental way of crucifying the flesh. Fasting is the act of putting the flesh aside so that the enemy cannot use it against us in the invisible war. It is here that two verses become clear as to the importance of getting the flesh out of the way in spiritual warfare. In James 4:6, it says, "God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble." Nothing will cause more humility in our lives than to put aside the desires of the flesh. Here's the eternal truth that must be grasped in the invisible war. Exalt the flesh, the devil will bring you into defeat. Submit the flesh to the purposes of God, and the devil will be defeated. Revelation 12:11. They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And number three, they did not love their life even to death. Do you see it? Look at number three. Look at it with me today. There it is. They had put aside all the desires of the flesh. They didn't even care if it brought them death. When the flesh is laid aside, the enemy has nothing to work with. As we begin to wrap up the summary of chapter 5 in the armor of God, let's look again at the issue of prayer as a weapon. The Bible tells us four things here concerning prayer as a weapon against the forces of darkness. Number one, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times. Don't ever stop praying. Wherever you go, in work, in play, in your rest time, stay in communion with the Lord Jesus in prayer. Number two, pray in the Spirit. Let the Spirit take over the prayer agenda. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Let Him take over the prayer meeting. Let Him tell you who to pray for and how to pray and when to begin and when to stop. Let Him continue. Let Him continue the prayer meeting until He says, okay, it's done. Let Him be in charge of our prayer meetings. And number three, pray with all perseverance. Don't be discouraged. Keep on praying. Keep on trusting. Believe the words of Jesus when He said, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Luke 11:9. If you have a loved one who is still in sin, believe what God says in His Word, that it is His will that none perish, but all to come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. Continue to pray. Keep knocking. Don't stop. Pray with all perseverance. And number four, pray for all the saints. It is important to note that we are told to pray for all the saints in the battle. Why? Because all of us are vulnerable. Your pastor's vulnerable. The elders and deacons of the church are vulnerable. Your children are vulnerable. Your families are vulnerable. Your dad, your mom are vulnerable. Even though believers, we are all vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. We are to pray for all the saints, not just those we see faltering. We are to pray for all of them. Every believer is in this spiritual battle.
Dr. Randall, we'd like you to help us understand how to put on the armor of God. And in the back pages of chapter 5 of your book, you have a prayer that wonderfully clarifies each piece of the spiritual armor God has provided each believer in this spiritual battle. And this prayer helps us understand how to put the armor of God on. Would you lead us in that prayer right now?
What a privilege it is. Let's join our hearts together in prayer, and this will help us know how to put our armor on. My dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, my Master and my Savior. I thank you that you have provided all I need to ward off the attacks of the enemy in my life through my union with Christ and the heavens. I choose to cover myself with the armor of God, which you have promised me in your word. I put on the girdle of the truth of God. However painful it may be, I choose to hear your truth, face your truth, believe your truth, trust your truth, and tell the truth. Speak to my heart that I may hear from you what I need to know and believe. What you have said in your word is true. I put on the breastplate of your righteousness. All of my righteousness is filthy rags, except what you have done in my life to make me right with you. I receive your working in my life to make me like Jesus. I receive the shoes that represent my willingness to readily go where you want me to go, that I may represent you and your peace to a world that does not know the peace of God. If there is any area in my life where I am not at peace with you, show me and I will gladly confess it, so I may be cleansed. I ask you to bring into my life, through the fruit of your Spirit, the peace of God, and I desire to be at peace with all men. If there is someone that I need to make peace with, please let me know who it is and how best to humble myself before them that they may see Christ in me. I take up the shield of faith. thank you that this shield is able to quench all the arrows aimed at me, dipped in the flames of hell. I praise your holy name that my victory over the enemy has been won by Christ Jesus. I do not fight this battle toward victory. I fight this war from the victory of Calvary's cross. I choose to believe what you have said in your word is true. I choose to obey you when you speak. I receive from you every provision needed for spiritual battle through the gift of your salvation. I place on my head the helmet provided for me through the shed blood of your Son. Thank you for protecting my head in this battle. I choose to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now that I have the armor that covers my body in the battle against your enemy, I am ready to take up the sword of your Spirit, which is the Word of God. Whatever lies the enemy will hurl at me, give me from your heart your word to ward off his lies. Make the Scriptures alive in my hand and in my heart. May your word separate the lies and the working of the enemy in every area of my life from the truth of God that is able to set me free. As I go into battle with the enemy, I go only in the union that is mine with Christ. I will pray without ceasing as you tell me how and what to pray. I will trust you to keep on praying until you answer according to your will. And I will pray for all my brothers and sisters that you have joined with me in your body until all are set free in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray your mighty and holy name that you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that I ask or think, according to the power that works within me. I thank you that there is only one Lord, and you are He. I thank you that each piece of your spiritual armor represents Christ Jesus and my union with Him. Thank you that I am more than a conqueror through Christ who loved me and gave Himself for me. I praise your holy name that the battle is already won in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen.
What a powerful prayer, Dr. Randall. Thank you so much. And today we invite you to visit our website for the many helps that are available to you through this ministry. If you've missed any program of Dr. Randall's teaching on spiritual warfare, you can download it for free. And in fact, any program or all the programs in the series of The Invisible War are available on our website, theinvisiblewar.org. That's theinvisiblewar.org. You know, it is by your faithfully standing with us that we're able to bring the invisible war to you each week by radio. Thank you for joining with us in prayer as we take this life-changing truth to the many hurting and wounded. And thank you for your financial support for the invisible war. Please give as generous a gift as you can. You can give your gift online. Go to the website, theinvisiblewar.org, or you can call us toll-free at 877-808-8886. That's toll-free, 1-877-808-8886. And we look forward to hearing from you. Now, I don't want to breeze by that too fast. We do need your financial support to keep this message going outward. So call us today with any gift that you can. That number again, 877-808-8886. 877-808-8886, or online at theinvisiblewar.com. Well, Dr. Randall, we have some exciting news that we want to share with our listeners, and it's something that's coming up.
I want to personally invite you to share with me in a time of Bible study and ministry at our upcoming The Invisible War Conference. We will meet on Saturday, November 1st at the Plano Center in Plano, Texas. For the conference details and schedule, and to secure your place, visit our website to register. TheInvisibleWar.org. That's TheInvisibleWar.org. Space is limited, so register today. You can also reach us by calling toll-free 1-877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. I look forward to meeting and praying with you as we study the Word of God together at the Invisible War Conference. That's Saturday, November 1st at the Plano Center in Plano, Texas. I want to thank you today for tuning in to The Invisible War. You are a blessing to us, and we want you to know how grateful we are that you have tuned in today. Join us again next week on The Invisible War as we continue the study of God's Word.